Hallelujah. I don't know what they're going to call this morning's message by Dave. When Icky comes to town, dealing with Icky. But whatever, we're going to go ahead and continue in that vein, because really, I don't know if you remember, last Sunday also had a lot to do with that same type of thing, and Dave had a line for people that were having that kind of problem. And I'm normally a pretty upbeat, positive type person, but I know exactly when he was saying, how many of you, you're just going along fine, everything was fine, and you take a step, and Icky. You know, there's no reason for it. Sometimes there is. Sometimes there's circumstances and things happen that get you down. But then sometimes I've had that. You know, that previous step, I was fine. Jesus loved me. I had power and authority. The very next step, Icky. Nobody loves me. I'm not even sure God loves me. Not sure I'm even saved anymore. You know, oh God. So I think Dave, he hit it right on the head. What he really went after this morning is you've got to come to the understanding many times that's not just you. That's you are under a genuine attack of the devil. There has been an assignment against you. There has been devils assigned. I don't know exactly how they work on our emotions, but I do know it's true. I've had it myself. Sue and I had it, and now we're going back. You've got to remember, we've been married, this year it's 37 years. We've got a little experience. And then 20 years at this church. We're thinking about making it our home church. We're not sure, but we're thinking. But it took a long time, because Sue and I really do love each other. We're in our house. It's pretty much what you see here is what you get there. It's pretty much the same. We don't argue and yell and scream at each other. It's very seldom that we don't even that we don't agree about everything. But it does happen. But it took a long time, even after we were coming to this church. We got to noticing, sometimes, now husband and wives, I'm sure, it's probably only Sue and I had ever had this trouble. You'll say something, and your spouse heard something completely different. And then your spouse said something, and by the time it got to your ear, you heard something completely different. And at first, we didn't have a clue. We didn't even realize that's exactly what was happening. We just knew they got mad, and I don't know why they got mad, but they're really mad. Or I got mad, and they're going, why did you get mad? So I don't know how long ago. It was a long time, 15 years ago maybe, 10 years, somewhere in there. It dawned on our lightning-quick mind, maybe this wasn't just us. So we actually started, when that would happen, we'd say, We made this compact with each other. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to repeat back to you what I heard you say, what I heard. And I remember the first time Sue said, she told me what she heard. And I said, that is not what I said. This is what, I don't even remember the incident now, and there's more than one, but this is what I said. And she was, that is not what I heard. And then we found out it worked the other way, too. It'd just be totally out of character from Sue. It's, what? And so then I'd say, now, this is what I heard. What we found out, I don't know what you call, I'm not a demonologist, I'm not a specialist in demonology, but there is some kind of atmosphere, some kind of an attack that can come in a house where somehow those things twist the words. And you say what you said, but by the time it gets to that person, they hear something different. I don't know exactly how that works, but I do know the answer to it. This is what we... All of that doesn't really matter if you know how to fix it. We finally, on our lightning quick minds, exactly what Dave was teaching. Oh, by the way, it'll be open into Luke 10. Sorry. Exactly what Dave was teaching on this morning was the answer. And we didn't know to call it Icky. No, I'm teasing. But when we didn't recognize that that's what's going on, we just took dominion over it. In the name of Jesus, we command these devils that are twisting our words. We command you in the name of Jesus, you leave this house. And we'd come in agreement on it. And it would just have that one preacher say, that whole thing would melt like a snowball in the August sunshine in Oklahoma. It's gone, until it would come around again. After a while, it'd come around again. So I do know that there are emotional wars that happen because of direct demonic influence. So Luke 10, look at verse 17. I know you know these things, but it's good to be put in remembrance. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And now notice, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, why join those two things together? He says, listen, Satan lost his authority a long time ago. This is not news to me. Now, it's good. It's good that you have this authority over devils. He says, that's not the thing to be really excited about. I didn't come just to give you authority over devils, even though you have it. What I've come is that your names be recorded in heaven, in His book of life. Amen? But now, that does not take away from the fact the devils are subject unto believers in the name of Jesus. I did a study, I did a message on this verse a year or two ago, and that phrase, subject unto, what that means is, one is master, one is slave. All right, he makes it real clear here. Yes, the devils are subject to you in His name. So when you come in His name and you speak with His authority, who is master and who is slave? The believer is the master, the devils are the slave. Now, when you have an emotional upheaval, let's say it a little more, when you feel like the Dickens, you feel like icky, you feel when you don't want to read your Bible, you don't want to pray in tongues, you don't want to, you for sure don't want to fast. What you want to do is sit there with a gallon ice cream bucket. The last thing in the world you feel like is a warrior and a champion and full of authority and power. And that is exactly the time when you need to exercise your authority in Jesus' name. It's like when you're sick, you know. Sickness attacks your body and you're, maybe it's one of those chest colds and God, I hate those things. And you got a fever and all kinds of things are coming out of your body that shouldn't be coming out of your body. You're wiping and sneezing and coughing and your head feels this big and nothing in you feels like doing any war of any kind. But that's exactly when you need, really you should have done the warfare ahead of time. But if you're in it, you still have to do it. And if you absolutely can't, then you need to have friends that can come and do warfare for you. Amen? Now, read it in your Bible. Don't look at me. If I see you looking at me, I'm going to ask you to look down at your Bible. Or pretend like you're looking down at your Bible. Luke 10:17. I wish all believers would read that verse aloud until something clicks on the inside. You are the master. Devils are the slaves. You have the power here. No power that they have. It's not that they don't have any. He says, look up here at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on, that's really authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, that's dunamis, of the enemy. No matter how much dunamis they have, that's like dynamite type power, it's real power, you have authority over it. You have authority. You are the master. They are the slave. They are subject to you. Even in your coughing, wheezing, nose wiping, feverish, icky condition, you are still the one in Christ. You are still the believer. They are cast down. You are exalted in Christ. Amen. You take authority over them. And again, I know Smith Wigglesworth was unusual, but I still like what he says even when I can't do it. He says, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. That boy that preaches good, it's hard to do when Icky's in town. But you've got to do it. That's exactly the time to do it. All right, now come over with me just for a moment to John 14. because right along with those emotional type things, having a good emotional balance goes hand in hand with peace. You really can't, if you're in turmoil all the time and fear and anxiety and worry, you don't say, all right, I'm going to have a positive outlook today, but I'm going to worry like crazy. That will not work. You've got to come to the place where you learn to have to walk in His peace, which is not like the world. See, now, so John 14, look at verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. Notice it's His peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. See, how does the world give peace? Well, when there's a chicken in the pot and gas in the car and the kids are in bed and the cat didn't bite you and when all your circumstances are wonderful, that's the world's way of peace. Jesus' way of peace is while they're killing you on the cross. You pray, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You're full of joy. It says, for the joy set before Him. For the joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He wasn't in turmoil. I'm sure it was not pleasant. It was difficult. You talk about hard. I can't imagine how hard. But there's not a doubt in my mind the man was full of peace. Not as this world gives. But the peace of God. Paul's letters calls it the peace that passes understanding. Man. And I know a little bit about that. I heard Mark talk a little bit about it. If you're in this war, I'll tell you how you'll never get peace, and that's from running from every problem. I think Alan said something this morning. I've heard Mark say something like it too. He says, God, He loved me into a corner and then backed off and picked a fight with poverty or something. Picked a fight. In other words, I had to learn to stare down that giant of lack. I had to learn who my provider is, and it's not my ministry. See, most people are not in ministry. Say, well, I have to learn. If you got to learn your peace, your security is not your job. It's not even the economy. God has not forgot how to send ravens and to bring bread and lead you to a brook where there's water. I mean, most of us don't want to live like that, but still. I'm just saying, he knows how to get it done. But part of walking in emotional stability, is that a good way to put it? Is learning to walk in peace. Now, it's something learned. It's not automatic even for Christians, and let me prove that to you. If you want the perfect lesson, it's in your own Bible. You don't have to ask for one of my messages. Just go to Philippians chapter 4. There's the perfect message on peace. If you want to learn how to walk in the peace of God, this is exactly how you do it. And anybody can do it. Paul wrote this letter from prison, for crying out loud. He's in prison. And he's writing a letter how to walk in perfect peace and how to rejoice. And he's in prison. He's telling them, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. And then he's telling them how to have that peace, you know, the peace. The God of peace will be with you. But nobody hardly ever does this. So let's start in verse 4 of Philippians 4. And again, when you're having an icky day, this is the hardest thing in the world to do. Like, you know, rejoice right in the middle of icky. You feel bad. You're not even sure Dave loves you. And when you don't think Dave loves you anymore, I mean, you're in bad shape. If you've gotten so bad, you don't even think Dave loves you. Much less the Holy Ghost and God. I'm teasing a little bit for the camp, you know. But when you're really icky, having one of those really down days, you know. I mean, it's hard to rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. That's when it matters. You're moving 2 metric tons of flesh out of the way. You talk about winning the war now. But anyway, let's pick this up here. He says, Philippians 4, yeah, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now in the King James it says, be careful for nothing. I think Amplified and other translations say, don't worry about anything. Now, I remember a preacher that I admire. He says, when he came to that verse in his Bible, many mere, as a young Christian, he just had to stop right there and said, "Jesus, I can't do that. I am a professional worrier. I come from a family of professional worriers. I have been highly trained in the art of worry. We worry about everything." And then the Lord says, "Well, you're going to have a pretty rough life unless you learn how to do this." And he says, "Well, no, I can't do it." And the Lord says, "Yes, you can. You can train your emotions." Now, time out. I wasn't really planning on doing this. If you guys want to see how to train the emotions, Dave years ago said this, and boy, it's one of those little nuggets that clicked in my spirit, and I've really studied it out. He said, emotions cannot just be dismissed. Emotions have to be turned. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was God when he said it. Later on, God gave me a study on it, and you can look it up for yourself. It's not hard. Not going to do it tonight because I didn't bring the sheet with me. But go through the book of Proverbs, and everywhere that it talks about training a child or disciplining a child, apply that to your own soul. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You don't allow your soul to act like a little child and run off and throw a little tantrum. And, you know, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to spit my broccoli out on, you know, on the floor. You don't allow a little child to act like that, and you don't allow your soul to act like that. Your soul is not your master. Remember, we've done that lesson time and again, servants upon horses. Who is supposed to be on that horse? The spirit, man, the real you, the part of you that's born again. That's the real you. And that soul down there, you can't let it be running off and acting like a little child and whine and scream, and I only want ice cream and I'm not going to eat my vegetables. I ain't going to do no worship now. You can forget that. I'm having a bad day. You say, you are going to worship. No, I'm not going to worship. Yes, you are. If you want to have a good study on how to train the soul, go through Proverbs, look at everything that it says about training up a child and bringing a child into wisdom. You apply that to your soul, that's a really good study. But I digress. Let's get back to this. Don't have time for that one today. So he says, don't worry about anything. So we could just end this. See, we could just end. That's it. Don't worry about anything. Later. Be blessed, be filled, be warmed, you know. But he gives you the how. That's what I love about Paul. He doesn't tell you, just don't worry about anything. He tells you how to get to that place, how you can become a person who never does. So let's go on here. He says, well, first off, prayer. Do you know how, I ought to do a timeout. We shouldn't admit this over the internet where people, at the prayer center, people will have they're in serious trouble. They need a counseling session. I mean, this is serious. We get together, start talking about it, and I says, well, now what have you prayed so far? And they go, what? What? I said, well, show me your petition. When did you pray about this? What are you believing? Where is your stand of faith? What? They haven't done the first thing yet. They haven't prayed. They haven't got any scriptures together. It's like I need to go back 5 years and find those messages that I did about how to get petitional prayer answered and just intravenously force feed them or something, you know? Because look, this is step number. There's an old song. I can't remember the words to it, but it's what needless burdens we bear. And, you know, what if we would just take it to the Lord in prayer, something like that, you know? That comes from here. That comes from here. We go through all this yuck, all this stuff that the Lord could handle with a flick of his eyelash, if he has eyelashes. I mean, just a wave of his finger or something. And we never even pray, and he's going to pray. Come on, pray. You have authority in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever things you ask in his name, I will do it. Jesus is over here going, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Remember, he added both in there. And he's going, pray. And we're going, I need a counseling session. And what does the world say? Let me get on the internet and see what the answer to my problem is. And I'm going to go to, what is that? MD, Med. You know, you become more of a hypochondriac the more you do that too. Oh yeah, I think I have that now. I have that now. Anyway. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Pray only in the big things. in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, why do you do thanksgiving? Because you've got to believe you pray, that you receive when you pray. That He heard you, that He's alive, that this situation is not going to stay the same as it is. That's why you offer thanksgiving the same moment right after you pray. Because He heard you. You have your answer. I believe I have received. That's all you're supposed to do. Your responsibility is to believe you receive when you pray. Thank Him for it. Rejoice in it. His responsibility is to make sure that you see it. You shall have it, He says. If you believe that you receive, then you shall have it. That's His responsibility. Let your request be made known unto God. And if you do that, if you learn to do that and trust Him, here we go. What's here? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, that's not in there for no reason. Jesus, it says a couple of times, He was agitated in spirit. You can get agitated in spirit, okay? But I'm telling you, the peace of God quiets the whole you. Not only your heart, but your mind. And you can be in peace. I mean, I have lived through this now enough. You go through this enough time, and it takes a while. It takes a while for the soul to be trained. But, you know, Sue and I have been at this since 95 full-time. The last time I had a paycheck, a real paycheck from a job was 1995, early in 95. It was a severance pay from crane carrier. It's like 2 weeks, 2 weeks pay. That's it. That was 1995. This is what year? 2012? And after you've seen the Lord come through, I mean, it's looked like certain disaster. I can't even tell you the hundreds, if not thousands of times. Okay, we did not die today. Surely we will die tomorrow. I mean, it's just, you know, it was just tough. But we've seen Him again and again and again and again do it. To where now, we still have times when the finances just look terrible. And you go, I should be worried. What are you going to do? We're going to pray all night? No, see, what's Star Trek on? What is that, huh? I'm not trying to promote anything. I'm just saying, I've caught myself going, you should worry. You know, you've gotten over into irresponsibility now. No, my soul has just been trained. I have prayed. I have believed I received. I have His Word. I'm doing what He told me. There is just no reason to fear. These little facts. Truth changes facts. Facts come and go, my friend. God's Word is truth, and it is eternal. It is eternal. Now, here He says, finally, summing this all up, if you want to know the true path to keeping a positive outlook, to keeping icky at bay, learn to do this. Finally, brethren, summing it all up, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and especially notice, whatsoever things are of a good report. See, a lot of things you go, well, this is true. I say, is it a good report? No. Then why are you dwelling on that? Dwell on God's Word. It's always a good report. Faith always has a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. In other words, Paul is reminding them of when he was there. I mean, he's the guy in prison. This is it. He's writing this to Philippi. Philippi is the chief city of Macedonia. That's where him and Silas were thrown into prison and the stocks. And at midnight, I mean, here you are. You've been whipped. You're put in the stocks. They've got you in the prison. You're facing the judge tomorrow. And what are you going to do now? I know what most Christians would be doing. Oh, God, why have you failed me? Oh, you know, I need call Gary and Sue. We need counseling. Says, where's that Dave? What did they do at midnight? Right in the face of all their circumstances. It says they worshiped God and sang hymns, and they didn't do it silently. They did it so loud that everybody in the prison heard them. They did exactly this. So when he's saying, those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, they have seen him do this. And I'm sure it wasn't just that one event. All the time. Bad news comes. What do? Rejoice. Good news comes. What do? Rejoice. Looks like we're going to die. What shall we do for the next hour? Let's worship God. Let's sing praises and hymns. Somebody strike up the music, if they have music. That's your counsel? Yes. You know what happened in that situation? I mean, an earthquake came, shook open the bars, and even then Paul didn't leave. You know why? I don't have really time to get into it. But his mission was not over yet. It was a long time. Okay, I'll go ahead and give you... I should take a love offering for 1995 right here. I didn't know for years why they didn't leave. See, it wasn't just Paul. The rest of them, in that jail, do you notice? None of them left. Nobody left. Why? They were a little bit of awe of this Paul and Silas. See, if they ain't leaving, we ain't leaving. But I didn't know why they didn't leave. I mean, Peter did when that angel come and got him out. He left the prison, and I didn't know for the longest time. And finally, you know, just don't try and figure it out. Just keep assimilating and praying in the Holy Ghost. And he showed me one time. He says, you remember that vision? The vision that Paul had in the night, they didn't know where to go. And it says, there appeared unto him a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Well, it's a vision. Paul saw the man in the vision. The prison doors are open. They can get up and leave. And maybe Silas got up to leave and Paul grabbed him and set him back down. We're not leaving. How come? We haven't yet seen the man. We haven't seen the man that God sent us here for. Y'all remember the Philippian jailer? When he had heard that the prison doors had all been opened, he figured they'd all left and he was going to commit hara-kiri. He was going to fall on his own sword. And he said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And he come in, what must I do to be saved? That's the man. I have no doubt about it at all. No doubt about it at all. They did not leave until that man, the one that he had seen in the vision, received Jesus Christ. God, I love that. There is a reason for everything God does. All right? See, right in your trial, did you know, let's just go one step further. That church, the Macedonian church, which that's the start of it, you just witnessed the start of that church was the financial base for Paul's ministry for the next 15 years. He said, no other church communicated with me, even in Thessalonica. And I'd go all these, you know, he went to Corinth and he'd say, the church is at Macedonia. They had to send me money here to help, so I could help you without charge. And that church right there, God always has a reason for everything he does. So that big trial looks like, oh, I'm in prison. I didn't do anything wrong. I've got all these bad circumstances. Rejoice. Worship God. You might be on the verge of your financial breakthrough and don't even know it. God's got a plan. He's something bigger than that is going on. Rejoice. Worship. Get this peace that passes understanding. Send icky packing. Just send icky packing. Emotions have got nothing to do with this. We see those that worship him in spirit. And in truth, if you're only going to worship him when your emotions feel like it, that's worshiping him in soul. Worshiping him in spirit. Your spirit is not having an icky day. Your soul might be, but your spirit is not. Okay. See, y'all should be rejoicing. Nobody's rejoicing. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if words mean anything, why add that last phrase? Unless you could word it like this. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, don't do. And the God of peace will not be with you. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're going to rejoice in the midst of the trial? You're going to worship in the midst of the trial? Are you going to develop... See, my mother's 91 years old. Her favorite verse... I mean, the only medicine the woman takes is a little 25-grain blood pressure pill. That's it. That's not bad for 91. And she's, her memory is good, and she, you know, her favorite verse in the Bible is, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." My mother is the walking, I mean, no one's perfect, I understand that, but my mother, she does pretty good at 1 Corinthians 13. She always sees the best in every person. You know, I'm the one that has to keep bringing, anyway. she really does though, she always, I mean, I don't care how bad the situation is, somehow my mother will find a silver lining in that cloud, you know, she's going to find something. And that positive outlook like that, she prays all the time. She prays, she's known the Lord since she was little. She prays all the time. Now, so she's walking in really good health. Her mind is clear and sharp. If I want to remember something, I ask my mother. Her memory is so good. And I know it has to do with, she may not could teach this, but she is the living epistle of this chapter right here. This is her. Always thinking the best. Always finding that good, you know, something good about it, a good report. And it amazes me how she does that. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm just reminding me of something he showed me. Go back to Luke 10 for a minute. Yes. Now, here's one other thing that can really, if you're not careful. See, how does David say that in his book on the strategies of the enemy? He says, you know, the enemy's got a strategy for all kinds of people. He's got a plan for lazy people. He's got a plan for dumb people. He's got a plan for smart people. But he's also got a plan for zealous people. People that are hard workers. People that are diligent. And let's see it here. He doesn't care what plan he has to put in motion as long as it stops you. All right? Well, here's a unusual tactic here. Somebody gets into this pattern, you'll also have the ickies. You'll find yourself not enjoying a wonderful Christian life. Okay? So just pick it up here in Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now that's what Mary is doing. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Can't you just see this picture? Jesus is in the living room. Picture a Bible study like we used to have at our house. I don't know. There's a living room. There's people that's sitting around. Jesus is teaching. How would you like to have been in that little Bible study right there? I'd like to have been in that one. And one of those is Mary. Now back in the kitchen, you can hear the clattering of pans and pots, and Martha's in there. She's fixing the soup and whatever, you know, she's getting everything ready. And we need to do that. You need to be diligent, whatever it is you're called to do. But Martha, there's a timing for everything. When the master is teaching, that's not when you're out doing something else, even if it's a good work. So can you get the picture? Here's Mary sitting there receiving, I mean, manna from heaven. She is, there's no better. She's receiving directly from Jesus himself. How'd you like to receive the word from the word? Whoa, he is the word made flesh. And you're going to be taught the word by the word? Oh, and you want me to come flip pancakes or something? I mean, what's wrong with you? And Martha actually comes and says to him, make her not listen to you anymore, Jesus. She needs to be out here busy with me. Well, that's not the way Jesus saw it. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art..." This is the same word over in Philippians where it says, "Be careful for nothing." "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Listen, there's a real balance. We have well-meaning young people mostly that they hear this message of prayer and they want to quit their job and live by faith. And they're not really lazy. I'm not a lazy person by nature, but even part of me, the Bible is full of being a responsible person. He that does not take care of his own family is worse than an infidel and denied the faith. There is a time for everything. Now, the principle for tonight is this. You don't get so busy that you don't have time to go sit at the Master's feet. Years ago, I read a book. I don't even remember who it's by, but it was called The Fawcett Principle. And it has served me well. He says, people, it doesn't matter. You could be a doctor, but he's really talking about ministers mostly. You can't be given water out of your glass and never go back to the faucet yourself. You have got to have times of refreshing from the Lord. Whenever I use that word refreshing, I always immediately think of tongues. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. With stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to this people. Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians 14 from the Old Testament. Definitely talking about praying in other tongues. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. Those are especially the times, and if you can couple that up with reading your Bible and some worship, you can't just be a server like Martha all the time. You have got to go sit under the faucet yourself. Your cup needs to runneth over. If your cup runneth over by spending time with Him yourself. So there is a balance. No, He's not called us all to go sit on the mountaintop and go kumbaya until He comes, you know. We have responsibility, we have jobs to do. But if you're so busy that you don't have time to come and sit at the Master's feet, you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to get in the Word for yourself, to have just times of refreshing. I'll tell you a good gauge. If near the end of your day, you're about to call it a night, and you think back on your day, and you didn't really talk to the Lord, I don't mean talk to people about the Lord. You didn't talk to the Lord yourself that day. Honey, you're doing something wrong. That's not the kind of fellowship that He's after. That's not good for Him, and it's not good for you. You have very many days like that, and the icky going to come. And it's not that it's a condemning thing or anything like that. It's just you open the door. If you don't have fellowship with Him, the whole world is going the opposite direction. The whole world is going the opposite of the gospel. Everything in it, and I like the news. I'll tell you, I watch too much news, and that's, have you noticed a lot of that is of the good report? Sue says, getting a good report there, are you? And she really said that one. See, that wasn't something that twisted in my ears, but anyway. But she's right. She's right. She's speaking the truth in love. See, you can't sit there for hours and hours and listen to that stuff and think you're going to have a glorious, happy day, Are y'all finding the balance to this? I want to recommend to you, especially Philippians chapter 4. And I also want to recommend to you this. I'm not going to take a show of hands like Dave says. I don't want to see a bunch of liars. And not the ones that raise their hands. Concerning every problem, whatever it is that you might be facing right now, maybe you didn't actually write it down, but if we're really going to counsel, I would like to know what you have prayed. What scriptures are you standing on? How long ago was it when you prayed? Because what I usually find out is you haven't prayed. You know, it's amazing to me how often Christians don't pray. And these problems, I need a job. They say, well, doesn't God know I need a job? Yeah, He knows you need bread too before you need, Jesus says He knows that you have need of these things before you ask Him. Asking in prayer is a legal transaction. Until this world comes to an end, the inroad, the access that God has into this earth is by the faith and prayers of His people. Otherwise, bad stuff just happens, okay? But pray. Become very good at praying and then practice that over in Philippians 4. That is the recipe for the peace that passes all understanding. And you can train yourself. You can train your own soul to become like that. Should be worried? Can't worry. Try. Can't. No, just can't worry. You know, I tried. Can't worry. People think you're strange, but you're the ones that they come to when they need prayer. They know who to come to when they need prayer. So, will y'all do that? Tell me you will anyway. Go ahead and tell me you will. All right, all right. Well, that's going to go ahead and conclude our teaching portion for tonight.